Welcome to the City on Hill podcast. So glad you're joining us today. I believe this message is going to enlarge your faith, increase your vision. God is going to do extraordinary things in you and through you. Work it into your life, share it with your friends, and we cannot wait to see you soon.
Complaining is not going to help you in famine. Thanksgiving will. Because what I found is you need to raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. You need to raise a worship song in the middle of your pain. Amen. That's what I need to do. Now, friends, when I complain, I need a friend to slap me and say, hey, buddy, what are you thankful for? Hey, buddy, can you give God praise in the middle of the storm? Can you worship Him in the middle of your famine, in the middle of what you're facing? Can you worship Him? Can you take your eyes off your famine and put your eyes on your God? Can you take your eyes off what's happening around you and put your eyes on the King of Glory, the one that provides, the one that's faithful, the one that never leaves you nor forsake you? He says in Hebrews 13 verse 5, in the context of financial problems, He says, do not worry about finances. He says, because I will never leave you, never forsake you. Amen? And then the fifth thing that you need to do in famine is you need to establish who your source is. Peter always says this. He says that you mustn't confuse your source and your channel. Your workplace might be a channel. Your parents, if you're still getting some cash from your money, some money from your parents. If you get some money from your parents, they are not your source. They are the channel. If you get a contract or a tender, that tender is not your source. It's just a channel. Ladies, your husband is not your source. He's a channel. Woo! I can see the ladies know exactly what I'm talking about. And the men are like, yeah, laced with us. I'm here to say that our government is not our source. They're just a channel. If you can understand who your source is, you won't be distracted by the channel. If the channel is sick or there's something wrong with the channel, God can just give you another channel. But He's still the source. Can you give Him praise for that? So let's get into the Word this morning. Bill Winston said this. First quote for this morning. Provision and all spiritual blessings are already laid up for you. God has unlimited provision in heaven's storehouse. So if I'm going to speak about God's provision in the midst of famine, we have to settle something, is that God is not poor. Hello? Do you have a poor God or do you have a rich one? He's got no limits. Hello? Some people are so poor, all they have is money. Famine is not just something that happens in the natural, my friends. There's some people, they have a fat bank account, but they have a poor relationships. Their relationships are poor. Hello? They have poverty when it comes to their marriages. They've got poverty when it comes to the eternal walk with God. Now, we all understand that verse, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to bring about a hope and a future. Remember that? And you know what, friends? I'm sad that that has become a cliche. Because it's much more than a cliche. It's truth. He knows the plans. Who knows the plans? So we don't always know the plans, but He knows the plans that He has for us. Plans to prosper us. Now, you friends, don't misunderstand prosperity. Most people say to me, now, if Mark, if you're going to preach prosperity this morning, they want to crucify me. So if you're there on Facebook land, hello. I'm here to say to you today that I don't believe in the prosperity gospel. I believe in the Jesus gospel. The prosperity gospel says that we use God to get money. The Jesus gospel says we use money to worship God. That's the Jesus gospel. But if you believe in Jesus, then you'll understand that He became poor on the cross so that through His poverty you can become rich. Not rich for you to be rich, rich for you to be a blessing. Reach for you to have more than enough so that you can bring glory to God with the provision that He trusts you with. And so if the enemy can bring you into famine, and if you can get stuck in famine, guess what's going to happen? You're going to struggle to bring more glory to God because you're limited in that area. Now, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about more than money. Because prosperity, in my understanding, is spirit, soul, and body. Prosperity is the wholeness of man. It's not just what my bank account says. Amen? Biblical prosperity is way more. Remember what happened with the Israelites. The Israelites were the shadow type of the people of God. And the Israelites found themselves at the Passover. We just celebrated last week the cross. We just celebrated the Passover, the fulfillment of the Passover lamb. Remember, Jesus became our Passover lamb. So that his blood, the angel of death, passed over our lives. And now we don't have to have death because he died in our place. Right? And so what happened is that the Israelites, when that Passover happened, when the cross took place, when they had the lamb, they actually feasted on the lamb. That prophetic word, Ben didn't know what I was going to say, but that prophetic word is God wants us to feast on him and not to feast at the enemy's table, to feast at the world's table. And so what happened was the Israelites, friends, they left Egypt healthy, free from death, and free from poverty. They were slaves before the cross. They were slaves before the Passover lamb was slain. But the Passover lamb set them free from, firstly, death. So that's the wages of sin is death. So for the gospel, for us as believers, we understand that our salvation includes all three. Free from eternal death, free from sin, free from sickness. Now, yes, you might say, but Mark, sometimes we face sickness. And we don't always understand why some people get healed, why others don't get healed. The truth still is this, is that Jesus is by his stripes we were healed. The truth is still that he died for our sickness. And that we can access the cross and the finished work of the cross for our healing. It's a truth. And the third thing is, those guys went from poverty to riches. They became wealthy overnight. They left Egypt with fine linen, gold and silver, and livestock. They became wealthy people. Overnight. The Egyptians gave them their wealth and said, please. The problem with the Israelites was not the fact that they had wealth, it's what they did with the wealth. What happens with most believers in the prosperity gospel is it's not what the fact that we have wealth, it's what we do with the wealth. What the Israelites do and what the prosperity gospel has done is what they've done is they take their very wealth, their gold and their precious jewelry, what they do is they melt that and they make a god of their prosperity. They worship their prosperity. Instead of using their prosperity to worship their god, they use God to worship their prosperity. And you know what now, what the body of Christ has done now? Now because of that golden calf scenario, now the body of Christ says, no, you must rather be poor. No, don't trust God. You're not allowed to trust God to have a vehicle to live, to drive, a house to stay in. You're not allowed to trust God for financial well-being. You're not allowed to trust God for that. Where in the Bible do you read that? That's not the truth. Just know the purpose of it. If you know the purpose, you can live to the glory of God. Amen? Let's give him praise. Come on. So let's get into Genesis chapter 26. Genesis 26, and we're going to look at a famine in the land. It says, there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Jesus, I want to pray right now as we come to your word that we will not just hear what a man has to say, but Holy Spirit, that we'll hear what you are saying to us, the church, Lord, that we would, that this word will become life to us, that it will be rhema to us, that we would leave here filled with faith, filled with hope, and filled with your love. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. It says this, and Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Can I say something? Is that famine, no matter how chosen you are, Abraham experienced famine and Isaac experienced famine. So that means we're going to experience famine. Now, famine is not who you are, it's what happens around you. But what most people do, and I've got it on a slide, I might just skip it now. What most people do is they identify themselves with their famine. The famine redefines who they are. Instead of understanding, they're not different, they're just in a different environment. Just because, friends, just because I live in Clarksville doesn't mean that I'm different. I'm still an individual. You can find me anywhere in the world. Wherever I am, I'm still myself. I don't have to be something or someone else. I don't have to become someone else. I'm still who I am. My identity is secure in Christ. My surroundings does not have to determine who I am. Do you see that? Verse 2 to 3 says, then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I will tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants, I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to your father, Abraham. Isn't that awesome? I'm here to say to you that when you and I face famine, it's an amazing opportunity for God to reveal himself. What happens with most people is when they face famine, they think that God deserts them. No, that's an opportunity for you to look for God. That's an opportunity to spend time with God. Say, God, reveal yourself to me. That's an opportunity to look for opportunities where God steps onto the scene and says, I'm here. I'm here for you in the midst of that famine. Amen? What happens to most people is they think that God's not with them. But I believe that God loves speaking to us in the midst of famine. Are we listening in the midst of famine? Are we hearing his voice in the midst of famine? Because what I said earlier, I said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What happens to most people in famine is they don't get a word from God. They react like the world would react. They act in fear instead of faith. Do you see that? They act based on what the circumstances are doing. And then they read a newspaper article, 4,000 people have left South Africa. They've gone to Australia or wherever else. Anyway. And they're just running away. Now, I believe that God did say to Abraham, you need to move. And so God will speak to you to move. But if you haven't heard God to go, then you better hear him while you're staying. If you haven't heard God to leave your city or to leave, even if you, I mean, some people are like, no, I'm going to leave this job. This job doesn't work out for me. I'm going to leave it. Oh, really? Did you speak to God about that? Because God speaks to Isaac in the midst of what he's facing. If you're in that job, you need to get a word from God. God, what are you saying about where I'm at right now? I need you. I need to hear you for my future. I need to hear you for my present. I need to hear you. Because I need to walk by faith and not by sight. I need to walk by faith, because faith pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God needs to believe that he exists and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you're not walking by faith, if you flee in fear, you are not going to experience the blessing of God. Because God cannot bless fear. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. How are you being led? Amen? Some people come to me, no, I just think I must leave this wife now, this husband. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm like, did you get a word from God? And when I read the Bible, get a word from God, okay? Anyway, let's not go there. Verse 4 to 5. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of the heaven. Woo! Do you hear what God does? In the midst of the famine, God gives him a promise. In the midst of his confusion, in the midst of his concern, God gives him a promise. You know, I found what helps me, what sustains me in the famine is the promise of God. He says, I will give your descendants, to your descendants, all these lands, and in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Isn't that awesome how God reaffirms his promise to Isaac? And he said, I gave that to Abraham and it's true for you. Isn't that awesome? As the stars of the heavens. You know, friends, God said to Abraham, I'll multiply you as the sand of the seashore, the stars of the heavens. Sand, earthly. The Israel nation became multiplied. Heavenly, you can't count the stars. That's you and me. We're part of the heavenly inheritance. Amen? Now look at verse 12. Can we go to verse 12? Can you see it there on the board? Or am I in your way? Can you see it? It's a new thing. Can we give God thanks for the media team? They've really been working hard on getting this sorted out. It's really great. Thanks, guys. Then Isaac sowed in that land. Can you say he sowed? Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. He sowed in that land. You know what most people do? When they face famine, they hold. They don't sow. When they face famine, when it comes to their relationships, they hold back. When they face famine, they hold back. They're too scared, so they act in fear. But sowing in the land empowers you to live by faith. It takes faith to sow. He sowed in that land. And here, I just want to talk about finances. I'm amazed at when I hold, I am my source. When I sow, he is my source. It's amazing how that works. And I'm friends. This is in every part of my life, every single part. I found with Marie and I, the same thing is when we're facing some famine, you know what I try and do? My default is just to hold back. Hold back on the encouragement, hold back on the appreciation, hold back on the blessing. All I just hoard, keep it up. Just start protecting myself. Isn't that what you do? But if you can sow in that land, you'll see a breakthrough. Amen? Isn't that awesome? Tell the person next to you, sow. Wow, I don't know. Sorry about that, Jesus. The man began to prosper. Watch this promise. Woo, this is awesome. The man began to prosper and continued prospering. Now, I need three people, if you don't mind. Joshua, Dustin. Thanks, Peter. Come join me in the front. Three people. Yeah, maybe you stand in the front. This will be easier. Yes, there we go. Okay. Watch this. Watch the progress. The man began to prosper. Look at that verse. He began to prosper. He continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Watch this. He began to prosper. He continued prospering. And he became very prosperous. Watch this. Watch this, friends. People that understand that they need to invest in the midst of famine, they experience prosperity, increased prosperity, and amazing prosperity. Come on. Do you see that? Do you see how he progresses in his prosperity? But people that hoard, the world at that point in time was experiencing famine. There was no way for them to experience breakthrough. Why did Isaac go from prospering, continuing to prosper, and exceeding, what, very prosperous? Why did that happen to Isaac? Why did he get a 100-fold return while everyone else was busy struggling? Why? Faith? Am I right? Let me show you. Why do you say faith? Because all the people were waiting for the clouds. If you go and study Genesis 26, Isaac was drawing from wells. I don't know, you must get this. Get this. If you can understand that your provision is not in the seen, it's in the unseen. If you can understand that God is the one that provides for you, guess what happens? You go from prospering to continue prospering to very prosperous. Watch what happens. He draws from the unseen while the world is looking at the seen. He draws from who God is. He says, God, all the gold and all the silver belongs to you. You are great. You are good. I'm going to draw from the unseen. The just shall live by faith. We live by faith. His faith. We put our faith in God. We don't put our faith in circumstances. You know what the rest of the world does? They watch the stock market. They watch the markets, what happens in the world. They watch the weather. They watch the politics. Oh, no, I'm just holding on. It's elections. No. Where are you drawing from? Are you drawing from the well? And you must see what happens is he became so powerful that they later on closed those wells because that's where he was drawing the life from. And the enemy, listen to me, friends, the enemy, most people want to deal with the fruit. The enemy is upset with your fruit and he's going to kind of try and get your root. He's going to try and block your root. He's going to try and block the flow, the well that never runs dry. Jesus Christ, he says, if you drink from me, you will, from within you, there'll be a well springing up to eternal life. If you can draw from Jesus, the well that never runs dry, you can experience prosperity no matter what happens around you. I'm here to say, no matter how much you have in your bank account, you can be prosperous. I remember earning 1,940 rand a month. And someone asked me, how are you doing? I said, I'm the most prosperous man on earth. Prosperity is not limited to how many zeros are behind your salary. I've met some prosperous people living in rural areas in the Philippine Islands. Prosperous people, they don't have a double-story house. They're super prosperous. Prosperity is not limited by what we see. Prosperity is who we are and what we experience. Amen? Can you draw from that well? Can you draw? And friends, yes, awesome thing is that if the enemy can block your drawing from the well, he stops your prosperity. Give these guys a hand. Bless you, man. Thanks, guys. You know what Isaac did? He found the treasure that was hidden in the field. I've been meditating on the song by Jason Upton called Scarecrow. Have you ever heard the song? It's powerful. He talks about the fact there's a scarecrow living in your head. What is a scarecrow? You know what a scarecrow is? It's just a thing that looks like a man. And it keeps the birds away. Right? And then he sings in the song. He says, if I was a bird, if I was a foolish bird, I would fly away from here. He says, because then I would allow the lie of the enemy to rob me from the treasure that's in the field. But if I was a wise bird, I'll listen to my heart and I won't listen to my lies. I'll listen to my heart, the truth, and I will find the treasure waiting in the field. I see people do that. They get offended in a church, then they're gone. If you got offended somewhere else, go and sort it out. Oh, yeah. Hello? They get offended and they gone. They're missing out on the treasure in the field. I've met people, then they get divorced. Then they tell me 10, 15 years later, it's the biggest mistake of my life. It's not easy. Now, I mean, I don't want to put any condemnation. If you've gone through that, I know God is a healer. He restores trust in God with you. But I know the truth. If you're finding yourself in a place now, you're contemplating divorce, I'm asking you to go to the well that never runs dry. In Jesus' mighty name. Can you give him praise? I've learned this, and this is something that God spoke to me personally. I've learned this, that abundance, listen to this, abundance is in your head and your heart before it's in your hands. Abundance is in your head and your heart before it's in your hands. What happens to most people is they want abundance in their hands before it's in their heart and their heads. I believe that abundant mindset and abundant faith, abundant belief has to happen first before you're going to see it. It first happens here in the unseen before it happens, manifests in the seen. Can I give you a couple of statements just in, and then we're going to close. Is that all right? A couple of statements. Famine is like the flood. Jesus Christ is the ark. Noah is the ark in the flood. Famine is like the furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Jesus is with you in the fire. Is that right? Famine is like the five loaves and the two fish. We're going to touch on that next week. The five loaves and the two fish. Jesus is the bread of life. He's more than enough. If Jesus doesn't satisfy us, friends, $1 million breakthrough will not be enough. I'm standing here before you. I've had huge financial breakthroughs where hundreds of thousands of rands get deposited into my account. And you know what, friends? You think when that breakthrough comes, man, everything's going to be better. Don't look at me holy. If I can just get that increase, if I can just get that new job, if I can just get this contract, man, it's going to be wow. It's going to be better. A month or two later, you realize, I still need Jesus. Amen. Can you give him praise that he's more than enough? So a few things to remember when you're facing famine. First thing, you have to believe that famine does not catch God or take God by surprise. He doesn't catch God by surprise. Is that right? First thing about famine, it doesn't catch him by surprise. The second thing about famine is famine will always demand faith. Amen. Famine will always demand faith. Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Amen. The next one. Famine does not have to define you. I said that earlier. You don't have to be defined by your famine. Some people, they go through loss or they go through famine, and then they park their lives there. All they can talk about is when I went bankrupt, when I lost my business. All they can talk about is when this and this happened to me and when that and that happened. Friends, don't make your famine your destination or your identity. Don't get distracted by bad thoughts or bad reports. Most times people find themselves in famine and then they focus on bad reports. News 24. I heard this testimony by Lester Sumrall that went to go and visit Smith Wigglesworth. And when he got to Smith Wigglesworth, he was like, he had the paper with him, the newspaper. And he said to Smith Wigglesworth, hey, I want to come and pray with you. What? And Smith Wigglesworth said, what do you have there under your arm? He said, no, it's a newspaper. He said, leave it outside. The guy goes, what? He says, I don't want bad news in my house. Now, am I saying we must live in ignorance? Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm saying, what report are you going to believe? Yes. Amen? Yes. Celebrate the manna. When you face famine, celebrate the manna. You know what happens to people is they find themselves in famine. Then they're like the Israelites. God gives them manna, and then they complain about the manna. They're not thankful for the little victories. They're not thankful for the little provisions. You know what I found? In famine, God provides for us in the little things, little things. He, you know, if you look back, you're like, how did I do this? God's like, I was there with you every day. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. I was there to sustain you. I was there with you. I never left you, my boy. I was there with you. You are my, you're my prized possession. I'm with you. I'm providing for you. It's not in like big stuff. It's sometimes just the small things. You know what the manna does? It sustains you till you get to the promised land. Give him praise. Give him praise in advance. Don't prolong the pain. If you're facing famine, don't prolong the pain. Don't become negative or proud. It'll prolong the pain. And then lastly, I want to close with this. Establish who your source is. Randy Alcorn said the following. If economic catastrophe does come, will it be a time that draws Christians together to share every resource we have? Or will it drive us apart to hide in our own basements or mountain retreats, guarding at gunpoint our private stores from others? If we faithfully use our assets for his kingdom now, rather than hoarding them, can't we trust our faithful God to provide for us then? Isn't that awesome? You know what I realized is the whole world was in famine. And God saw the mess that the world was in. And you know what God said? He said, this world will not be satisfied with anything. They are in famine. I need to send them bread from heaven. So they sent, God sent the bread of life. His name is Jesus Christ. And you know where Jesus was born? In Bethlehem, the house of bread. And you know what this bread was? This bread came not only to satisfy the sin problem, but it also came to satisfy the idol problem, the worship problem in man. Because man wants to worship. Man wants to find its identity, its security in something or someone. And God the Father knew that, and so he said, nothing else will satisfy. No one else will satisfy. I have to send the bread of life. And Jesus Christ became the bread of life that satisfies every human need. He was crucified on a cross. The Bible says, if they lift Jesus up, you'll draw all men unto him. He was crucified on a cross. As you lift up the bread of life in your life, guess what happens? He starts meeting every need in your life. And you're sitting here this morning, and I know you trust God, and I know many of you in our church, you've been faithful to God as putting him first through tithes and offerings. But I would like to unlock faith in your heart again for the tithe. Because what I found was, I found that the tithe sets the tone for my relationship, for my financial faith. The tithe sets the tone. So when I give to God my first 10% through the local church, guess what happens? I make a declaration. This is what I believe. God is my source. This is what I believe. Jesus Christ died for me on the cross. This is what I believe, that I am in need of Jesus Christ. And without Him, I cannot do this. This is what I believe. I believe this is a declaration of where my money comes from, and this is a declaration of who my money needs to be spent for His glory. And I'm here to say to you today that, like in Isaiah 55, it says that if you have no money, you can come to Him. If you're thirsty, you can come to Him. He is the one that satisfies. And what happened with these Israelites in Exodus 13, just before they crossed the Red Sea, they've just now gone from slaves to becoming these mega wealthy people. They literally just got provision, but they're on their way to the desert. They're on their way to a season of famine. They're on their way to going through the desert. And God establishes something with them just before they cross the Red Sea. And guess what God establishes with them? He says to them in Exodus 13, He says, I want the firstborn of everything. Because He knows that if He's not first, they will not be blessed. He knew it. And so He establishes, before He opens the Red Sea, before He annihilates Egypt, He establishes this. Let's read it in Exodus 13, verse 11. And it shall be, when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as He swore to you and your fathers, listen to this, He establishes this in their hearts, and gives it to you, that you shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb. That is, every firstborn that comes from the animal which you have, whether males, all the males shall be the Lord's. He's saying the first that comes from your increase, the first that opens the womb, needs to be mine. And then He says this. He says in verse 14, so shall it be when your son asks you in a time to come, saying, what is this? Because think about it, friends. Your children, you farmers, and your children are so excited about this new little lamb that was just born. And the kiddies are like, yes! And then the dad says, no. This is not us. We need to kill this one. We need to sacrifice him. But daddy, we don't understand. Daddy, it's so sad. We don't want to give him up. And the dad sacrifices the first one to say, God, you are my source. You are the one that brought me out of Egypt. Watch this. He says, then you shall say to him, by the strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Friends, it's in these times where we have to have a revelation. We need to tithe by revelation, not by duty, not by religion, but revelation and relationship. It's in these times where we have to say, God, we didn't deserve to be set free from bondage, but you set us free from bondage. Robert Morris taught me this. He said he shows his kids from time to time when he tithes. He shows them how much he tithes. And so I did that. He says, when my kids get older, they ask me, why are you doing this, Daddy? And then Robert says, you know, your dad used to be a very bad man. Your dad used to be a slave to sin. So I did that with John Mark the other day. And I put John Mark on my lap and I prayed with him. And he saw my tithe. I transferred my tithe into the church account. And he looked at the amount and he said, Daddy, we can buy an Xbox with that money. And I started crying. And I told my boy, everything we have comes from God. And my boy, before I got saved, I was a slave to sin, full of pride and arrogance. And my boy, every single time I get any provision coming to my life, the first 10% goes to God, because I never want to forget how He set me free from slavery. I want to build my life around the cross, because Jesus Christ was the bread of life that came to satisfy every need in my life. And my boy, we don't deserve anything, but I'll give to God first, because God gave to me first. Because while I was still a sinner, my boy, God died for me on the cross, Romans chapter 5, and He gave His Son. Jesus Christ was given to me first before I could give my life to Him. And now I give to Him first in thanksgiving and adoration and trust for the rest of my life.